Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
Time to Belichick your premises. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and if you know anyone who could use their premises Belichick this week, and there's a lot of you out there, and we're going to get into it in a second, send them on our way. Joining me, Daniel T. Richards.
Wow. It is media week of the Super Bowl, and I couldn't be more excited. I have been like a child in a candy store all week. So far, and it's only Tuesday. It started on Sunday for me. And at work, I had to turn up my obnoxiousness. I had to turn it up. I'm typically very subdued at work. But, walked into my office on Monday morning, and my walls, and my bookshelf, and my computer, and my chair, and my wastebasket were papered with Eagles propaganda. That's right. So first it was that map that's been going around that shows these are the places that are rooting for the Eagles. And it's like all of America except the Northeast and then this tiny red speck in D.C., which I guess was to represent me. I don't know.
No, you forgot North Dakota.
North Dakota is rooting for the Patriots?
Yeah, but Vermont is not. Fucking Vermont.
Of course Vermont isn't. So,
the great state of Vermont should apologize for its cheese.
So there were those, and then there was one particular to the nerdiness of my profession, which is it was a bunch of founding fathers and who they would have rooted for, and the only founding fathers listed on there that would have rooted for Tom Brady and the Patriots was Benedict Arnold and his wife. So that's funny, I guess.
Yeah, but look what else it said. What was written?
Oh, it said, but they would know he was a cheater. That's right.
Right. This is where the line gets crossed for me. Okay? This is where the line gets crossed. Look, I'm not going to lie. There was a Jets guy who worked in my office for a little bit. So I put up pictures of Brady and Belichick with the five Super Bowls, like with Brady had his five shirt on and they're holding it up. And I put a picture of the butt fumble under his desk. So when he looked down, he saw the butt fumble. Like, but to me, that's just like teasing and that's just like razzing. It's not like, hey, fuck the Jets. Remember like when Rex Ryan got like Mark Sanchez tattooed on a jersey of Mark Sanchez, his wife wearing the Mark Sanchez jersey tattooed on him because he's a fucking idiot and everyone hates him. Like, there is a line to me that Eagles fans cross that has just made me hate them. Hate them more than I hate Giants fans. Hate them more than I hate Seahawks fans. Hate them more than I hate Broncos fans. There has just been a level of obnoxiousness that Philadelphia fans have that makes me... I didn't really care beforehand. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, sure, I'd love to win a sixth Super Bowl. But at a certain point, it's like, well, we won five. You can't really get mad if we lose another one. But now, I want to fucking destroy them. Because, look, you're watching a WWE event, right? So, over the weekend, it was the big Royal Rumble weekend. That's one of the big four pay-per-views in the WWE. So, that means their developmental brand, NXT, had a show Saturday night. Then they had a big show, the Royal Rumble, on Sunday night. Then Monday night they had Raw there, Tuesday night SmackDown. So this is a huge weekend for WWE. And yeah, the crowd gets into cheering and everything, and they cheer for who they love, and they boo who they hate. But in what world do you chant, fuck Tom Brady, at a WWE show? What does he have to do with the show? Nothing. And this is when Boston native John Cena led you guys in a fly Eagles fly chant. That's a man who understands the context. That's a man who understands what's going on. But you scumbags have to chant fuck Tom Brady. Fuck Tom Brady for what? For what?
Being great.
For winning? For being great? For doing the best he can? That's a reason to say fuck a human being? look, if you guys beat us, you beat us. I'm sad the Giants beat us in those two Super Bowls. I'm not mad. Was I ever mad, Daniel, that we got beat in those two Super Bowls?
No, I have a fun story about that. You were never mad.
No, I was never mad, and we can get to that in a second. But no, I don't get mad when we get beat. Only when the refs beat us, and that's very, very rare. Or maybe we miss a stupid field goal at the end. But no, I don't get mad at the other team. I get sad. But if your reaction is to get mad and to chant, fuck Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback, the greatest football player of all time, are you really a football fan? Yeah, okay, the Jaguars said, bring on Tom Brady. I can understand that. That makes sense. You want to beat the best, right? If we're talking about wrestling, Ric Flair said it. To be the man, you have to beat the man. I'm not going to try and woo. Don't ask me to woo like Ric Flair. It's not going to happen. That is the proper reaction. But if your reaction is fuck Tom Brady, fuck you. Like, all gloves are off. I don't even care anymore. I hope we fucking destroy you. And I'm tired of pretending that you're as good of a team as everyone's pretending you are. Pretending your defense is as good as it is. Pretending Nick Foles is as good as he is. If Nick Foles has another game like he had in the NFC Championship game, I will be fucking flabbergasted. I personally think the Eagles are walking into a fucking, I can't even think of the word, a lawnmower? What, just like a lawnmower. I don't know. You know, a blade that goes around and they're just going to get chopped the shit out of them. I think it's going to be a blow-up, personally.
They're walking into a slap chop.
No, but that doesn't turn automatically. Like, they're walking into a jigsaw trap, okay? This is a jigsaw trap. This Super Bowl is a jigsaw trap. There's the episode name, okay? I'm fucking angry. I am angry.
This is, by the way, listeners, the Rational Football Program, so just keep that in mind.
I think my anger is justified. I think it's justified. Why is 90% of the country cheering against the Patriots? Why? Is our culture that
hot
bad?
G, man. Hot G.
I don't look, dude, I'm a Clemson fan. I wanted Alabama to win the national title game. They've beaten us 2 out of 3 years. If there's anyone who should hate Alabama and want them to lose, it's me. But you know why I want them to win? Because they play good football, and I like watching them play good football because I am a football fan first. I can only be a Patriots fan because I'm a football fan. If I don't cheer for good football, I don't really have a right to cheer for the Patriots.
There you go. Nicely done with that rant. Yes, I agree. I like watching greatness. I like watching people perform at the peak of their sport, their art, their whatever it is, their industry. I like watching greatness, and I find inspiration in greatness. Mostly in the Patriots in football, but there are other teams who do wonderful, great things. There are individual players who I thoroughly enjoy watching who are phenomenal. And I like watching, you know, I liked watching Nick Foles have a career game against Minnesota, even though I thought Minnesota was going to win that game at the outset. Now, you were talking about the inflation of the Eagles' stats. One of the ones that keeps going around is that the Eagles have the number 3 ranked offense or something like that, which is an interesting stat, assuming that there is an asterisk by it, right? And that asterisk being named Carson Wentz. Because you got to remember, this team had a quarterback, second-year quarterback, who was playing out of his mind for most of the
MVP
season.
MVP level
play. Still, by the way, could win the MVP. He's not out of the running just because he tore his ACL. And of course their stats are padded because of that, because he was playing out of his mind, and you have other good offensive players. You have a good running game with LeGarrette Blount and who's their other running back?
Jay Ajayi,
who traded. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Came from the Dolphins. But that's not your current situation. Eagles, you have Nick Foles under center now, who in the games he played had one good game, and that's part of the problem with the Eagles, is that they have a quarterback who's wildly, wildly inconsistent. Yes, he can hold the record for most touchdowns in a single game, and then you can have the game against the Falcons where he's basically a detriment to your team. So
Hey, who does that sound like? Does that sound like Blake Bortles?
It
sounds a lot like Blake Bortles.
Yes, indeed. So
I see so many similarities between this Eagles team and the Jaguars team that it isn't even funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Good run game. Wildly inconsistent quarterback. A very good defense, but maybe one that's a little bit overrated for what they do. But here's the thing. This is the thing about the Super Bowl, which is why I love watching the Super Bowl. I especially love it when the Patriots are in it. But I get more amped up about the AFC Championship game, I think, emotionally. And it's because the Super Bowl is a one-out-of-one contest. And in sports, it's very hard to say that one team is better than the other team in a one-out-of-one contest. That's why most sports have a championship that is a series, right? Because you eliminate the possibilities of luck in a series. So even though the Patriots win, while I could make arguments to say that the Patriots were the better team, the fact that they won one game does not that fact alone does not mean they were the better team. And certainly you can look at no further than the season that the Patriots went 16-0 and statistically were the best or among the best teams ever in the history of the NFL and still lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. I think it's 538 who's run simulations of that game, and only 1 out of 10,000 times did the Giants win in simulations based on the stats. So,
yeah, and it adds to this one-off fact, the fact that we take this week off in between.
Yes. Yeah, I suspect it's got to be very difficult to deal with all the accoutrement of the Super Bowl, for both teams, by the way, not just for the Patriots. Having to do all the media appearances and dealing with all the celebrity and taking a week off and having to fit in practice in between all of the craziness. I suspect that's difficult on any team who's sort of rolling on this consistency pattern and who's rolling on the timing. Man, how much have we talked about timing this season of Belichick Your Premises and how important timing is on a game level, on a season level, on a weekly level, all of the above. So,
okay, and that's the thing. Everything you're saying right now is the thing that is going to favor the Patriots. To do that, we have to look at the overall rhythm of this 18-year dynasty. Started out with 3 Super Bowl titles. Then there was a break. Then there were those couple Super Bowls in the middle. And now they're at the end of possibly another 3 titles at the end of their dynasty.
Yes.
Right? Now look at the middle versus the end. Right? In the beginning. Let's just compare all of it. I don't know why I just broke it down into segments again. But so when you look at the middle was something very different. The middle was different for 2 reasons. One, there was the whole 16-0 thing. No team has ever dealt with that in the history of the league. Nobody had ever dealt with being 18-0 going into media week like that and dealing with all the scrutiny and everything. So you talk about now the Patriots and how they're the height of everything and Tom has Tom versus Time going on and everything. This is nothing compared to what they dealt with before. So they didn't know how to deal with that, especially because it was a new team, right? All of those players, out of all of them, I don't think there was many or anyone. Was it just Brady, Belichick, and Scarnecchia who had been in the first Super Bowl together?
Could be. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, Nesson has a list of all the people linking all of the Patriots Super Bowls. And actually, Dante Scarnecchia was at the 86 Super Bowl against the Bears.
Wow.
He's the only one who's been in every Patriots Super Bowl, the offensive line coach. So, and I think it was pretty much them, because even Vinatieri was gone at that point. So it was a whole new team dealing with it and everything. Whereas now, just like the last Super Bowl against the Eagles, this is the third time they've been to the Super Bowl in 4 years, just like the last time, and most of the roster, a large percentage of it, has been through this 2 times already.
Yeah.
And they've won 2 times. So you're going to tell me they don't know how to deal with all this? One of the things that helped them win the Falcons game was just the experience, just purely Brady and Belichick's experience with the game planning. Belichick knew they would gas themselves out with their youth and their excitement and playing that hard early on. Same thing happened to the Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. You're going to tell me that the Eagles are going to be able to deal with this better than the Patriots?
Yeah,
okay, they have Blunt and Long leading them, but I don't know. I think both of them are head cases.
Yeah. But they do have LeGarrette Blunt, who's been there, so
Well, that's what I said, blunt and
oh,
long.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the first one, just heard long. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, so what was I going to say? Oh, Billy McGinnis was on the Dave Damashek podcast this week, and always interesting to hear
William McGinnis. I love Willie.
Former Patriots.
Brief Instagram. Yeah, yeah. I follow him on Instagram, and he works out at like one of the big LA gyms. But funny thing, he posted on Instagram today. Nobody knows who anyone is because there's so many people in Minnesota. So there's a video of him where people are coming up to him and showing him their credentials, and he's acting like security and like waving them through and like making them turn around and like frisk them just because they don't know who he is. And I think that's really funny.
That is funny. So William McGinnis, former Patriots player, was on the first three Super Bowl teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He shared an interesting insight, and he said a big part of the Bill Belichick philosophy, not the whole thing, and it's not the whole strategy, obviously, but a big part of it is essentially this, which is if we stick to our plan and we don't make stupid mistakes, the other team is going to make a stupid mistake. And if you look statistically at the difference in football games, like you would think that the margin of victory in like on average would be a couple touchdowns or something. It's not. It's under 7 points is the average margin of victory for a football game. And if you can capitalize on literally one mistake that your opponent makes, in the long run, you will win consistently. That's a major part of the strategy. And so I think that philosophy and being able to instill that in your players, especially in veteran players over time, is just an enormous advantage over a young team like the Eagles. Does that mean that the Eagles don't have a chance? Of course not. Of course they do. But just that mentality, that thinking about it, and then think about what that psychologically does to your opponent, which is you've seen the Patriots do this over and over again, where they basically play flawless football, which is, by the way, side note, why they get fewer penalties than many teams. What is your mentality at the beginning of the game then? I have to play perfect. I can't make a mistake. I can't do something stupid, which then leads to Justin teams making mistakes. Thank you. Good job picking that up.
Okay.
That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the first thing you're going to do when you're psyching yourself out to not make a mistake is you're going to make a mistake. So I think just even in that seemingly simple strategic element, there is a brilliance in that simplicity.
Yeah, it's also kind of a fucked up view of human nature, too. Like, the idea that most people will make mistakes. So as long as you don't make mistakes, you win. I mean, that's what Adam Carolla says all the time, though, too, right? Adam Carolla's like, everyone is so lazy. All you have to do is put in a little bit of effort and you'll succeed.
That's right.
I mean, that's sort of like the same coaching style as Bill Belichick, isn't it?
It very much is. Everyone is so terrible at what they do that if you're competent, you will win. Yes.
Well, and I mean, that's what Tom Brady's really proving. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, his age, blah, blah, blah. Look, Brady's just smarter with the football. If you watch Tom versus Time, he talked about it. He's like, I've seen everything there is to see. Like, I process the information faster than anyone has ever processed it in the history of football. If I just keep my body running above average, I just have so much information at my disposal, and that's the entire system. I mean, I'm looking here. The reason I got distracted is I'm looking at my Super Bowl posters. I don't have the fifth one up yet, but I have the first four. I mean, the first three games were won by 3 points, and the fourth game was won by 4 points. If that is not evidence of the Belichick strategy, I don't know what is.
Yes, and that is the Patriot way. It's not blowouts, although as Dave Damashek pointed out, they tend to blow out the Steelers, and he's very bitter about that. But they don't really tend to blow out other people. They tend to win by 3 points, 4 points, 6 points, under 7 points, essentially. And it's because they stick to their game plan, they're consistent, and they don't make stupid mistakes. So
they blow out the Steelers because the Steelers quit mentally. That's all that is.
Yeah. I don't give Damashek a lot of credit, typically, although I do enjoy listening to him because I think he's funny, but he did say this week that people are, you know, saying that he wants Brady and Belichick to retire so the Steelers can finally win. And he said, what honor is there in that? What do you get out of that by saying, oh yeah, I want all of your best players to leave so I can win? It's like, no, I would much prefer that Roethlisberger and Tomlin beat Brady and Belichick, but they have been owned, and it's not even a rivalry. So, because for a rivalry to happen, you have to have some back and forth. So anyway, just wanted to give him some credit there. Point being, to bring this all back around to you, Justin.
Yeah.
The largest margin of victory in any Patriots Super Bowl was last year against the Falcons, where they won by 6 by getting a touchdown in overtime.
Yeah, that's just because they scored overtime. That's
This is totally anti what we do on this show, and I'm going to do it anyway because it's Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Is it time, I'll frame it this way, is it time for a Patriots blowout?
Well, that's what I told you earlier when I said this game is a jigsaw trap. Like, look, we got to score in the first quarter of a Super Bowl at some point, don't we?
I forgot that that was a thing.
That's the number one thing that scares me, because when you talk about mistakes, right, we had the big in the second Super Bowl against the Giants, we had the safety right away, which we gave up because they called intentional grounding on Brady in the end zone. That's the only time that's been called against him in his career. I think maybe 5 intentional grounding penalties against Brady have been called in his entire career. And they call that one in the end zone, and it happens to be in the Super Bowl. And then the Giants just didn't make the mistake. In all the other games, the teams made the mistake. So I just feel like, and I don't know, maybe I'm talking off of feeling here. I just feel like we're due for a blowout. And I feel like the Eagles are ripe for the picking, because I feel like they've got a weird backwards hubris going on here. And maybe it's the fans, but this whole home dogs thing, this whole, like, even though we're the number one seeds, we're underdogs thing, it's like, no, that's not how it works. No, take it from us, who've had the entire world hate us. That's how you're the underdogs. You're not, again, I guess that's what it is. It's like they're acting like everyone doubts them when everyone's on their side, and it feels like a false humility thing to me. And I just feel like they're going to get punched in the face. it just feels like what's going to happen to me.
Yes. Well, certainly, I'm not not going to be sad if that happens. I would love to see a blowout in the Super Bowl. And in fact, I was reading the other day that blowouts used to be way more common in the Super Bowl, but in the age of parity, they're much less common. In the age of Patriots domination, they're much less common, because that's not typically the Patriots style. But I think we're due. I think the football gods will shine upon the Patriots, and it will be a domination from start to finish. I have no objective evidence on which to base that. Just kidding. But I do think it'll be the case. So
no, I have objective evidence. This is my objective evidence. It's the same thing I said about the Jaguars. And once they started doing it in the second half, they fucking destroyed them, right? They only gave up 2 field goals in the second half. Look, it's the same thing. What's the Patriots' strength on defense? It's always been the strength with Bill Belichick. Stopping the run. What is the strength of the Eagles on offense?
The run.
Running the ball. Who's their star running back? LeGarrette Blount. Who's their backup or the main carrier, right? Jay Ajayi. We have intimate knowledge of both of these running backs. Blount was on our team for 2 titles. Jay Ajayi was on Miami. We know how to stop both of them. Who's their big defensive player? Chris Long. We know how to stop him as well. All our players played against him last year. Tell me what about the Eagles is scary to the Patriots.
Right. There's not much. The defense is good, but you could arguably say the Jacksonville Jaguars defense was better. So I don't think it's a bad matchup for the Patriots.
No, I think it's a very good matchup, and that's why I feel like it's going to be a blowout. I really do. Like, it's kind of tough for me not to go and put money on in Vegas. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. Like, I know we can lose. It could come out. Like I tell my girlfriend, you know, against the Tennessee game, right? That pretty much turned out how I expected. But, she was like, you know, maybe we should book our tickets to Boston now for the AFC Championship game. I go, what if Brady blows his knee out in the first play? She goes, what are you talking about? Why would you say that? Like, be positive. You need to put positivity in the world. I go, why don't you ask Dan the first regular season game he watched with me? What happened? I'm not making that up. That's like a real thing that happened. That's why I use that example.
Play number one. Brady gets his knee blown out. So tragic. I have a quick stat thing, and then I want to talk a little bit about our earlier Super Bowls, or maybe our first Super Bowls that you can remember. It's interesting.
Well, I was giving you the transition into that.
But I had a stat I wanted to give you before. So there is, first of all, there is something about teams that are quote-unquote supposed to win, which can be bad mentally, but I think the Patriots seem to buck that trend. And here's part of the reason I say that. So 538 compiled this very interesting table of stats on postseason records. First, when meeting opponents that teams previously faced in the regular season, New England Patriots are 12-9. They're the fifth best team on that list. They're 12-9 when facing teams they have previously met in the season, 57%. Interestingly, the best on that list is only, statistically speaking, is only 4-2. That's San Francisco. But, like, not many teams are better than that. Isn't that kind of surprising, first of all? That not many teams are that good when facing teams they've already faced. It's interesting.
No, it's in the NFL, it's really hard to beat a team you've already beaten because they know who you are. And especially because, unlike the Patriots, a lot of teams can't shift their identity. It becomes hard to shift your identity. And once somebody knows how to beat you, they know how to beat you.
Yeah. So
that's why there's this whole idea of blueprints, right? Oh, well, this is what we're going to hear a lot of, because they tried to say it about the Jaguars too. Oh, the Eagles are going to use the Chiefs blueprint for beating the Patriots. Oh, the blueprint of having a rookie running back that nobody game planned for yet and having Dante Hightower get hurt. You're going to use that blueprint? Okay, go ahead. Use that blueprint.
It's a good one if you can get it. But here's the fun one. Team playoff records when facing an opponent for the first time in the playoffs. Guess who's number one? Don't guess, it's the Patriots. They are 15-0, Justin. 15-0.
This is if they didn't play them in the regular season?
Yes, if they are playing opponent for the first time in the playoffs, i.e. they didn't play them in the regular season, they have a perfect record. Is that that's insane to me. It's ludicrous. So Philadelphia has a 6-2 record.
The Jets. That's all I hear when I hear that is fuck the Jets for those 2 years, man. And the Giants. Like, honestly, if we had played any other fucking team in that 18-0 game, we would have won that game. You realize that,
yes,
right?
Indeed. Indeed. Yep. Philadelphia has a 6-2 record. Their third best overall, 75%. But like, no one else comes close. Like the rest of the, they're like 5-1, 6-2, 4-2, 6-4, 4-3, that kind of stuff. Patriots 15-0. It's a crazy stat. Anyway, so the Eagles fans should be weeping a little bit over that stat. But speaking of weeping,
hashtag not all scumbags. I'm just kidding. You're all scumbags.
We love our Eagles listeners. There are many good Eagles listeners. That shouldn't have to be said, because it's clear that there are, but we'll say that. Anyway.
I think there's one, and it's Midsider Kevin, and I think that's it. That's the only good Eagles fan I've ever met.
I'm sure there are many more. Handful more. Okay, but speaking of weeping, talking a little bit for Super Bowl, I do not remember watching a Super Bowl growing up at all, period. My family liked football, but they were all, so we lived in Illinois, sort of in the middle of Illinois, in this weird Venn diagram where just north of us was Bears fans, just east of us was Colts fans, and just south of us was Rams fans.
Also known as the Devil's Vagina.
Yes. Very good. That's very good. So I didn't really have a team, and my family rooted for the Dolphins. No one grew up in Florida. No one ever lived in Florida, but they rooted for the Dolphins.
Also known as gay.
For the Dolphins, so I couldn't get...
You know why? Florida. You know why? Because of Dan Marino.
I suspect so.
Because they couldn't bring themselves to vote or support Joe Montana.
Yeah.
They would have been fucking Peyton Manning supporters if not for me. You're welcome.
So, I don't ever remember watching a Super Bowl growing up, not even for the commercials. I just didn't care. The first Super Bowl that I can remember attending but not watching was with you, Justin, at your apartment in Clemson when it was the first Patriots-Giants Super Bowl, I believe.
Do I have to relive this? Like,
you don't have to relive it so much, but I was there because a girl was there that I liked, not because I cared about football. But
But you found a deeper love. You found the deeper love of Tom Brady.
That's right.
I
fell in love with a man that night. His name is Tom Brady. No, I don't remember watching that game at all either. The thing that's burned into my mind from that night is all of us sort of awkwardly leaving at the end of the game while Justin was standing in front of the television with his hat backwards and his hands on top of his head. We are all like, we think Justin went catatonic. We're not sure what happened.
It's because, look, it was 17-14, and, like, it was right then, like, right off of Randy Moss's fingers. I mean, I even think it wasn't in one of the episodes of Tom vs. Time where he puts on the footage.
Yes.
And he's like, Randy was that close. He's like, we had the play, and Randy knew he had him beat. And, like, you could tell Tom blames himself for that because you put it, like, just a couple inches off of Randy Moss's hands. But, like, they had it dialed up. And can you imagine if to go undefeated? Like, there is an alternate universe out there. James and his arguing with Maddox about quantum physics. There is an alternate universe out there where Randy Moss catches that ball and runs for a touchdown and we all go insane and it is the greatest moment in the history of sports. Instead, I had to stand there with my hand on my head silently while everyone walked out quietly behind me.
It was very sitcom-y. It was kind of funny. / sad. But then that next season was when I started going with you to Hooters to watch Patriots games. First game, first play, Tom Brady, knee blown out. Matt Cassel in. Riveting season. So then
against the Chiefs, by the way. What is it with us and, like, we should be scared of early season games against the Chiefs,
it's
I
true.
Think. Those do not go
they
well
do
for
not.
Us.
NFL should stop scheduling those, you bastards. And then, of course, I did then watch all the Super Bowls after that, but the one I remember is the second Patriots Super Bowl against the Giants, which also did not go well. So that was kind of traumatizing. And then the one, though, that sticks in my mind, the one that is most vivid to me, even more so than last year's Super Bowl, by the way, that is most vivid to me is the Seahawks game, which I watched in my apartment with Fiza and Midsider Luke, and we screamed like children at the end of that game, like little babies. It was amazing.
Well, there was a lot of the relief of the Deflategate thing and everything, because that had happened over 2 weeks and everything, and I think that was the culmination of Patriots fans of they hate us.
Yeah.
Now we kind of just like everyone hating us now just kind of it's like stormtroopers trying to shoot people. Like, it just doesn't hit. Like, it doesn't hit us anymore. Like, they have bad aim. But that was like, fuck, they're really coming after us this time. Like, we really need to get them. And then, like, the Javon Curse catch.
Yeah.
Compounded that. Because you're like, not another one. No. 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 Stop. Not again. And, like ready to, like, kill yourself and, like, bang your head against the wall. And then the Malcolm Butler interception.
Yeah.
You're right. That will always be my greatest Super Bowl memory as a fan.
Yes.
Because he caught it. And, like, even now, I feel like I'm going to cry. Like, legitimately, there is one highlight in the history of sports that will make me cry every time I watch it. Like, if I wanted to be, like, a Stanislav, what's that guy's name? The method actor guy. If I wanted to use his school of method acting, I would just watch that play on my phone before I had to do a crying scene. Like, it makes me cry every time, even more than the last Super Bowl. Like, the last Super Bowl, I was jubilant. It's like, oh, my God, we scored. But the feeling of elation and relief when Malcolm Butler intercepted that football, I don't think that'll ever be matched for me.
Right. It was tremendous. So, is there a first Super Bowl you remember watching?
Well, I mean, first Super Bowl? I've seen so many Super Bowls in my life, dude. I mean, I remember the Patriots-Packers where fucking Desmond Howard returned a kickoff for a touchdown and Bill Parcells decided to apparently stop coaching in the second half because he was on his way to the Jets. I don't know what happened in that game. I was so young. But as far as first Patriots Super Bowl, I was a freshman in college and we were all packed in this tiny dorm room, right? And nobody expected us to beat the Rams. Nobody expected it. But I remember I had been back previously around my high school, and I had told a kid, because he told me, like, the next fall he saw me, or the Lenny later saw me, he goes, yeah, man, you told me the Patriots were going to win the Super Bowl and Tom Brady was going to be MVP. I'm not going to claim I was some genius back then, but I've been pretty good at predicting football for most of my life. And we're packed in that dorm room, and there are these two fucking twin girls. All they can talk about is how hot Tom Brady is the whole time. And I'm like, we're on the verge of history then. And I remember they kicked that field goal to win the game, and I just fucking ran around campus. Like, that's literally the moment my life changed, because so much became possible after that happened.
Nice. Yeah, I can't imagine what it was like to watch the game live. I went back later and watched it, a recording of it, and it's an incredible thing to witness, but with all of the context.
The most incredible thing.
Yes, go ahead.
The most incredible thing about it live was John Madden. John Madden's like, oh yeah, they'll just go to overtime here. Yeah, we'll just go to overtime. They're going to run the clock out. And he's like, what are they doing? And then just think about now. Think about the way football is played now. And when there's that much time left on the clock, everyone is expected to try and go for it and use the clock.
Yeah.
That was the first time you witnessed live the evolution of the sport and the changing of the game. Because remember, that's even before the rule change of the illegal contact after 5 yards, automatic first down.
Yeah.
So you saw how special Brady and Belichick were in that drive.
Yes, totally. Yeah, and remember, I'm watching it with the context of knowing what Tom Brady became. So I can't imagine watching with the context of not knowing where this is going to go from here.
Well, that's why that picture, which is ironic that you said I was standing there after the Giants game with my hands on my head, but that picture of Brady with his hands on his head after that first win, that's like one of my favorite pictures of all time. Like, I have it on my wall right now. I'm looking at it right now. And that's why it's my favorite, because it is the look of pure joy and shock as the world has changed. Right? That's what they said. We shocked the world. And that's what that look is on his face with his hands on his head. He's like, this is it. Everything has changed in this moment. My life has changed. The world has changed. And to me, that's the power of sports. And you know what? I'm saying Patriots blow up, but Eagles, you may get that moment. And when you, if you get it, not when you get it, but if you get it, you'll understand this whole show. You'll go back and listen to it. And it'll become a lot less obnoxious to you, because I'm sure some of you out there are thinking this episode is really obnoxious. But if you have that moment for your team and your world changes, and then maybe, you know, Carson Wentz becomes the next Tom Brady and the entire world changes because of that, you'll understand.
Indeed.
All right. So I think that's a good ending point here. So if anyone wants to tell you how obnoxious you are and talk shit about the Patriots for this Super Bowl, where can they reach you?
They can reach me at Damashek on Twitter. Yeah. If you want to talk rationally to me, or at least calmly, because we didn't talk super rationally in the show, but calmly, you can do it.
I disagree.
At Daniel T. Richards, at Daniel T. Richards on Twitter, Instagram, and search me Daniel T. Richards on Facebook.
I think emotions and anger can be rational, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb here.
Definitely no, but I get what you're saying.
You know what? I'm going to say the same thing to you that I'm going to say to anyone who wants to reach me on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat. If that's where you're looking for me at, or Facebook, you can find me at Go Fuck Yourself. That's where you can find me this week, okay? No, if you want to talk to me about football and all of the accoutrements and such, that's fine. I'm at the midside on all of the social medias. Like to thank you for checking in with us this week. And for this season, we're going to have one episode after the Super Bowl, and it's going to be called What Happened? Haha. For now, though, we're on to the Philadelphia Eagles.
My face, your face, instant face, go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.